you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Let's welcome in co-host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. Each Saturday, he's Matt Biamonte. Matt, how are you?
Doing fantastic. I am not a Sam Hunt guy. You're much more likely to find me at EDC down in Vegas than you would be at a country concert.
Yeah, country's not my vibe either, even though I'm from Wyoming. I don't know how that didn't rub off on me, but not my thing. So we'll let other people go to Sam Hunt. So I'd rather go watch BYU do anything. How about that?
Hey, I like that.
There you go. Nice segue into the BYU segment here. Spring football's over, Matt. Just want to get your with our first chance. My chance. Maybe you were on last week and wrap things up, but I guess everything kind of wrapped up Saturday. But I want to get your thoughts. Your just overall takeaways from BYU football, spring football, as it wrapped up last weekend.
I think I have three main takeaways. Number one, and this has got to be everyone's biggest storyline that they're following, what's the latest on the quarterback battle? Nobody's been named a starter. It's still a two-man race between Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff and Aaron Roderick in his final availability before summer workouts said that they will not pursue a transfer portal quarterback in the next cycle. So he's happy with Jake and with Gary. He revealed that through all of their statistical tracking throughout spring football, Jake had not thrown an interception. From my observation, it does look like Jake is ahead of Gary. Gary's had some nice moments, but I think Jake still has the leg up with how much more time he spent in that system. So I'd be shocked at this point if Jake is not the day one starter, but they're still going to let that play out into the summer and in the fall. My second takeaway is that the defense does look better. I don't know, and I think we've talked about this before, I don't know if it's going to result in more wins per se because the schedule is so much harder, but there's no doubt in my mind that this will not be a bottom of the FBS level defense. Their linebacking group is extremely deep. Their safety group is very deep as well. They've got a lot of returners from last year as safeties, and they got some freshmen as well that were making plays. So they've got a lot of options at those positions. Defensive line is an area where I think they'll be better. Guys like Zay Bagna, Tyler Batty, John Nelson have gotten rave reviews from Jay Hill. They probably still need to go out and get some depth in the transfer portal. And that's kind of my third takeaway as well, is that depth is needed in the trenches. And Aaron Roderick noted that as well. They'd like to add some bodies in the transfer portal. I think Jay Hill would like to do that as well. So, look, health, this isn't, you know, breaking news or anything crazy here, but BYU's, I think, top 22, maybe even too deep, I think is really good and it can compete in the Big 12. They've just been unable to stay healthy. Like last year, thinking about some of the guys that missed a lot of checking. John Nelson, a guy I just named, missed the last couple of games, and that was a big loss on the defensive line. Ben Bywater, to name a few. So staying healthy will be critical for this team if they want to make noise in the Big 12. But look, a lot of these questions that we have, guys, quarterback battle, depth at certain positions, we're not going to be able to answer till games are played, because that's just the nature of this program, that they'll keep battles open all the way until that first kickoff.
Yeah, coaches love to do that, right? Matt, you mentioned the quarterback battle. We love to talk about quarterbacks. I'm going to ask you one more question about it. Probably several more between now and then, but let me ask you one now. How does this offense look different with Jake under center compared to Gary under center? What do they bring to this team? Or maybe they look the same, but how is this offense better with Jake, and how is it better with Gary?
I think this offense is better with Jake when it's a little more spread out football. There's RPO. That's kind of what we saw the offense change to last year. There was heavy RPO. He's pulling it. He's slinging it. It's up tempo. I think that's where they're better with Jake. I think where maybe Gary has a slight advantage is Aaron Roderick talked a lot this spring about the most important thing is establishing the run game. It's an 11-man run game. And that's great. They need to have a good run game. There's no doubt about it. I would differ slightly, and I'm not there every day. I'm not the coach. So who am I to say what's right or wrong for this team? Just looking at the personnel, it feels like their wide receiver group is the strongest, and that lends me to believe Jake would be the starting quarterback because you could run 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. You plug Keanu Hill in there as a flex tight end. You run up tempo. You can still have the RPO with that, but more emphasis on the pass game and the run supplements that. That's Jake's strength. I think where Gary could fit in is if they want to go power run, I don't know if they do, but if they want to really lean on the run game and have a play action element, that's maybe something that would suit Gary Bohannon a little bit more. And Gary can run. He's got legs. He's got ability. He can run an RPO game. I just wonder if with his experience, if you slowed the game down and it was total run first, pass off the play action, maybe that fits Bohannon style a little bit better. I personally prefer that they go with the Retzlaff style, up tempo, get as many playmakers on the field, throw the football. And I might be a victim of just what BYU's been for decades. I prefer that style. I love the 80s and 90s and early 2000s style where it's a lot of points, it's a lot of yards, it's a lot of throws. I think that is what Jake does best. And we'll see how these guys are able to use their strengths in the fall.
I think BYU has a higher ceiling next year with Gary Bohannon as a starting quarterback than Jake. With the experience, his proven playmaking ability, and he turns the ball over less. I feel like the BYU coaches feel the same. I think they want Gary to win the job. That doesn't mean he's going to. As you mentioned, he's got to close that gap with knowing the plays and understanding the playbook and what they want to do and how they run that offense. I feel like they want Gary to win the job. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. I might have agreed earlier in camp, but I just, after everything you hear from Aaron Roderick, and it could very well be coach speak, you know, to some degree, we all have to take what these guys say as somewhat truth. But the fact that they spoke so highly of Jake Retzlaff in terms of running the offense, not throwing interceptions, doing the right things, to me, that felt a little bit like some breadcrumbs that, hey, Jake is ahead of Gary. And I think they want Jake to win the job because they put more time into Jake. They spent half of last season working with Jake. And what's best for the program, guys, quite frankly, is that Jake wins the job. He wins 6 bowl games. He's got another year of eligibility. So then you could roll that into next season. If Gary wins the job, then that means you're throwing in the towel on Jake. All that time is down the toilet. And then next year, what do you do? Because it's going to be Jake and Gary 1 and 2. And if Gary wins the job, you probably lose Jake. Then who's the backup? It's this huge domino with NIL and the transfer portal now. Gary has nowhere to go. This is his last year. So if Jake can definitively win the job, I think that's what the coaches want, and that's what's best because Gary can be a backup. He's a high-level backup. And then next year, Jake's the man. You can recruit around him, build your offense around what he does well this year. And then in 2 years from now, you move on to the next guy, whoever that is. So I feel like Jake is who the coaches want just because it makes the most sense this season based off all the time they put in. And then it makes the most sense long-term as well because you'd have that continuity going into next year.
Matt, you mentioned depth, how important it is as you're in the Big 12 now that you feel like BYU is about 2 deep at most of their positions, you know, but you go beyond that and maybe there's a bit of a drop-off. You mentioned hitting the transfer portal to help solve that. Where do you see BYU targeting which position most here in between now and fall camp in the portal?
The offensive and defensive line, because those are positions that you can grab talent and plug them in. I think the problem with those positions, though, are who is going to hit the portal now that's going to be an impact player. Like last year, BYU brought in Caleb Etienne. He ended up starting a lot of games, but he wasn't that impactful. He wasn't very good. He got benched at points. Now, I will say on Caleb Etienne, guys, he looks a lot better. At times during media observations, he was playing left and right tackle with the ones. If he can deliver on his athletic ability and his promise, that would be huge to have Etienne and Keim as the tackles and they're playing at a high level. That really changes things. But we saw last year how many guys came in between the summer and the fall and how many of them made an impact. There just weren't that many. Like Darius Lassiter did. Keelan Marion at moments did. Caleb Etienne, not as impactful as you'd like him to be. So I think they want to grab some depth on the offensive line. But this is what I have understood from the coaches, guys, okay, at the end of spring. The guys that they have now is who's going to play in the fall. There might be one or two exceptions to who they bring in the summer. But the group that they have, this is the group. All their time and energy is placed on developing them. And I'm okay with that because I just don't know how many guys you can grab in this portal cycle that would be that impactful. But they do need depth on both the offensive and defensive line.
BYU basketball question real quick. Brody Kozlowski, who's one of the top three players in the state of Utah who had signed a letter of intent with USC, is asking to get out of that letter now that the head coach Andy Enfield has moved on. He wants to open up his recruitment. If he does, how good of a chance does BYU have to nab him this time around?
Great chance, just because they were right there at the in the final list. They've got continuity. That's what USC doesn't have. And there could be a team like Utah or maybe some other teams on the West that could make a run at him. But BYU, I think, is still a program on the up. Their tournament success was disappointing, the lack of, but they did get there. And there's a lot of talent coming in. There's a bright future. I think BYU would be right in the mix for him. It just depends on what he wants. If he wants playing time, he's not going to get that as a freshman at BYU. But if he wants to be in a good program that has stability and has a bright future, then I think BYU is a great option for him.
That's Matt Biamonte. You can hear him tomorrow on KSL News Radio with Cougar Sports Saturday with Mitch Harper, 12 to 3. Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend, you guys. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.